Great day, amazing human. Yes, welcome to Empowered Up My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans. So you are in the right place to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Nkechi Mwafa Robinson. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with every single episode. We will bring you weekly content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and a shorter episode called Empowering Bites, where I will be joined by my co-host, Gabby Memone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Yes! In a city, in a massive yes, with a massively amazing human, That's new. That might be something for this podcast. But at the intersection of leadership and authenticity, our guest crafts transformation that ripple beyond the boardroom, empowering women to reclaim their power, rewrite their stories, and lead with unwavering purpose. A pioneer in blending heart with strategy, her work reshapes careers and cultures alike. So please, please put your hands, your ears, your hands, everything together for a gigantic podcast welcome to Susanna Kelly. Hear them yell.
I receive all of that. I receive it all with thanks and grace.
I love massively that we're actually amazing. Here because
yes,
but we're here. We're here.
I am so grateful that we're here. So let me, grant me, let me tell a quick story about that. So you and I obviously met at another organization, but we were actually supposed to do this podcast last Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I messed up and completely screwed up my calendar. And I want to tell you a little story about that. So obviously you were calling me and I was not, you know, prepared. I felt terrible. I felt awful about it because, and I've since written a LinkedIn post about this. Oh, I said, this woman has a big life. She's busy. She set up technology to do this. I felt terrible and I was apologizing profusely. And her response was, Susanna, don't worry, grace. In this moment, it's about grace. And the generosity of that gift, Nkechi, the generosity of that gift, because in these moments, we can choose to either be generous or to diminish, right? And this, and typically, when we don't know someone so well, we go the other way. Mm. And so my post on LinkedIn was about how this woman that, you know, I've met, but she doesn't know me and had absolutely no reason to extend such grace, chose to do that. And what I believe is that this reschedule, the conversation will be so much richer. Mm-hmm. So much more human and so much more emotional. And so I'm so grateful and thankful to you both for the grace that you extended, but also for the opportunity to share that with other people. Because what I want to tell you is that I put that story without mentioning your name on LinkedIn, although I should actually, but so many people commented and liked and said, Susanna, what a great reminder. Thank you so much. This is what we need to do. We need more of this in our world. And so, as you know, Nkechi, our network impact, one-to-one, yeah, I believe, is about 150 people. So if you extend that to the 50 or 60 people that liked my post, yeah, I want you to know that that moment of grace, which you didn't have to extend to me, reach 7,000 people.
Wow. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm an emotional being, like a cat could walk by. Okay. So I have to like, not, but there was something else. You almost wondered why I selected you. And it's actually for that. Cause I truly do believe like I'm gifted to have this time with you. And it wasn't even a question about extending grace. And here's another thing I also recognize after 53 years of life is that a lot of times that grace might have been needed for me in the sense that things always happen for a reason. We can't just say that and not actually live that. And so what if it was that I needed that time and that space to be in some other type of energy or purpose or focus? You get what I'm saying? Right. Like, yeah. And so yeah. That's why I don't discount that. There wasn't anything that was being done to me. And you were meeting with your mom, weren't you?
I was sitting on my mother's couch.
Yes. Like that is like so like, of course you need to do that. Like we need our moms, man. Like, so absolutely. So thank you for that. But the epitome of what you just said is what this podcast is about, because you and I are going to engage in a very meaningful conversation. It's already, people are already like hitting likes. I can see it and writing notes. I got to extend more grace. And, but it's never about just this interaction between the two of us.
No,
it's about what we push through this experience that then empowers.
Correct. And it's already started. It started last Saturday.
I love it. So first question is, what has been your most empowering thought of the day so far?
My most empowering today?
Yeah. Because sometimes we don't think about it. You know that, eh?
I love this. And so I'll answer the question, but I make a conscious effort every single morning. You know that moment when you wake up and the world is amazing, right? There's that moment. And then you remember what happened yesterday and you remember, oh. My most empowering thought every morning is I choose that this will be a great day.
Yeah.
I choose that it will be a great day. The odds of it being better than me having a negative first thought. Yeah. I choose to look for the moments. I choose to look for the sun. I choose to look for the joy.
Yeah.
Today will be a great day.
I was with a mentee. Would have been last week. It would have been after our interview. I was scheduled with or even before. I think she was at 10. And she asked me, do I ever have a bad day? And I took that opportunity to really, like, I prolonged probably my answer because I really wanted her to understand it. There are 24 hours in a day. I don't even care if you're a homeless person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at some point or other, they're celebrating being seen, being heard, being recognized, being gifted, something, you know, regardless of their circumstance. It's never 24 hours of consistent bad days, you know? And I think if we can start to say what you said, like, I'm choosing to have a great day, you'll see actually more good moments in you.
That's right. Confirmation bias.
Yeah.
Right? The brain is powerful. So we have to go looking for those things. I'm going to apologize to your listeners and watchers that I do have allergies. So apologize for that. But I want to say, sometimes I think that realization is learned later in life. And so that's something that I often talk about. This ability to sort of wake up and choose your day, for me at least, is something that came in midlife. And so I talk a lot about midlife because I think that, you know, early on in life, we get on the paths that we're told to get on or that we believe we're supposed to be on. And we choose all the things that we think that others want us to be on and societal expectations and all of that. And for women and for everyone, I think there's something about the getting older, which leads to, and I like to call it an awakening, the midlife awakening. It's never a crisis, but it is a realization that this life that we have, despite all of what's out there, is a gift. And if we choose it, it can be beautiful.
Yeah.
The moments can be spectacular. And as we get older, you start to realize that I need to really make sure that I am living on purpose, on fire for the rest of whatever the rest is.
Right.
Because, I mean, you said you're 53.
Yeah.
I'm 58.
No.
And so I recognize that the years behind me are a little more than perhaps the years ahead. Who knows? I'm on purpose and on fire that every day will be one that I choose.
Yo. Okay, so first of all, you know, I'm just going to go there for a second because I put a post out like 53 and I wrote and this is not up for debate. Because the first thing when people will see me, they're like, oh, my God, you don't look 53. And God, you're, you know what I mean? Like you're, and I'm like, no, I'm, because there's nothing about the years that I've had that have gotten me to where I am on today that I want to discount in any way by taking off 20 years off my life, right?
Correct. Correct.
I would never, I would, and I'm now catching myself because I would not have put you at 58. Like,
here we are.
And here we are. And I, this is like testament that, like, this is what it looks like. And it's okay. Like, it's, this is fabulous.
We choose to do that, right? We choose to do that. I'm going to tell you, actually, on last weekend, I went out and bought the bougiest bedroom linen and sheets. And because I'm 58 and this little body of mine deserves the best.
Like tread count? You're talking about like significant tread count.
There was nothing wrong with the ones before, by the way. They were also quite up there, but we're on purpose.
Yes, we are on purpose.
We're on purpose and we're on fire.
So I want to go back to what you shared about midlife and awakening. Because the question that comes to mind first is, if you sort of get lost in this moment right now and dip into your soul and then take us back in your backstory, right? There's always, mm-hmm. there is always a story. Mm-hmm. Were there elements of the feeling that you have right now in your awakened self that existed when you think about like found like the foundations of where you came from? Do you feel any of that ever? Do you understand what I mean?
Was the awakening there? But
yes, but just but obviously gets mirrored with experiences and lack of self-awareness and all this and yeah, but there's. Because I've always thought that maybe our awakening is more of a return back to self.
Right. I agree. So I like to say that, you know, we're never lost, right? Mm. It's not that we have to go find ourselves, but we get buried. Mm. We get buried. And so when I look back at, you know, who I was as a young woman, I was 23 when I came to Canada from England. And, you know, so I came here and, you know, hustle, right? Get on this corporate track and start hustling and doing all the courses and programs and, you know, the jobs. And so I, you know, spent 3 decades in HR, varying levels of responsibility. I was an executive, you know, in big organizations. But I think that for myself, as well as I know this from the women that I coach, we give ourselves away along the way to these societal expectations, to these workplaces, to our children if we have them, to our spouses and partners. We are dutiful daughters if we are so fortunate enough to have our parents, and all the other things that we do. And so this awakening for me is that we wake up one day and say, wait a second, what happened to me? Where did I go? Where is that girl, that woman that had all those dreams and goals, and you realize that you gave parts of yourself away? So to answer your question, were those parts of me always present? They were, but they were quite quiet. They were quite quiet in the pursuit of fulfilling other people's expectations of me. They were quite quiet. But I was thinking about some of these things before we got on. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about when I first came to Canada. And I think to myself, Susanna, you had guts. You had guts. I'll tell you this sort of quick little story. I am 58. So I was around when computers were first being introduced. And so I was working as an executive assistant, and I was pretty good at sharing with everybody how to use these computers. And so somebody said, oh, you should be a trainer. So I asked the organization that I was working for, will you hire me as a trainer? And they said, no headcount. So I thought, how am I going to do this? So I put together an introduction to PCs 101. And then I went to, and I was 24, I went to the Peel Board of Education, who at the time used to run night school for like general interest classes, and said, I know how to do this. I'd like to be a teacher here. And they hired me. And then I could call myself an instructor.
Right.
And then I went and sold myself to a Microsoft reseller who, you know, they would send me out to go teach. PowerPoint level one, Excel level two, because it was all new. And it was one day when I was, well, actually, one night I got a call from them to say, the person who's supposed to go to CIBC tomorrow is sick. Can you go? So I said, yeah. And I was teaching investment bankers, PowerPoint level one. They weren't interested. They were not interested. But there was a man that kept coming in and out of the room and standing and watching me. And at the end of the day, he said, come and talk to me. He said, I'm setting up a learning department here. Would you like to join? And that is how my career, if you will, started. And so were there parts of me back then? Yeah. Absolutely. Was that girl who was on purpose and on fire to make something and do something with her life? She was there. But over the years, she got buried.
Yeah.
The higher you climb often, instead of getting more empowered,
yeah, you get more constrained.
Yeah. Right? The risks are higher.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the risks are higher. The rewards are great. Company car, this, that, the other. But the risks are higher. And so at least for me, but I know this is true for other women that I've coached, and this is why I coach women in midlife today in corporate life, let's go find your voice again because it's there.
So, wow. First of all, that story sparked something for me. And I don't know, like when you came here at that age, would you say that there was, because they say that creativity is found in uncertainty.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say uncertainty is a teacher.
Yeah.
It is not the enemy.
Yeah.
It's a teacher. We have to get still. We have to get quiet. I mean, even in leaving my corporate job 2 years ago now, 2 years ago, nine days from now.
Oh, wow.
I had to trust myself, right? It was all I had known was corporate life. And suddenly I thought, you know, I'm going to do this entrepreneurial thing and let's see how it goes. But I really had to trust myself. It's born in the adversity. Mm-hmm. It's born in the uncertainty. It's not in the comfort. And as you know, growth happens on the other side of discomfort.
Yes, it does. And the bigger the affliction, the bigger the anointing, I truly do believe.
Oh, I love that.
So it's interesting. Yeah. If it's going to be 9 days from now, which is, we obviously are batching this episode. So this is October 30th when people are listening it for the first time. So that's exactly 2 years.
It's 2 years. No, 9 days from now. So September 29th.
So yeah, September 29th. Oh, October 30th. Never mind. So yeah. It's a month. Okay. My math ain't mathing. Oh, close.
That's okay. It's still synchronicity.
So midlife pivot is what.
Yes.
Right. So yes. Can you describe that moment? What, if somebody's listening to it, even myself, what does it feel like, smell like, sound like, and what do we do?
I think it starts before it happens, and that is that our voices, our inside voices, always speaking to us, and it is our responsibility to start listen to it. But we don't often listen to it because we are out of bed in the morning, in the kitchen, where's your backpack? Get in the car. Let's go. My Presto Pass isn't working. Right?
Go.
And so that voice speaks and then goes quiet. And it tries again the next morning and it goes quiet. And it is only sometimes when we get interrupted in the, why isn't my Presto Pass working? I'm going to be late for my 8:30 meeting. Interruption like job loss, or interruption like health scare, or interruption like my life's about to shift in a meaningful way, that we suddenly start listening to. And so that's what happened to me. I knew that I was going to, I lost my job. The company I worked for sold the organization to a private equity firm. And I will tell you actually that I immediately started interviewing. And I was partway through the interview and I was in second round and it was going really well. And so second round, maybe this is going to be, but the more they talked to me about all of the elements of that role, I could feel my stomach sort of churning, thinking to myself, this is not what I want. This is just not what I want for my life. And so I withdrew. And I had people around me saying, Susanna, the economy's bad. Susanna, are you sure? Susanna, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to figure it out. And so I did. And so I chose to listen to my inside voice. I chose to listen to it. And it was the best thing I've ever done. And I thank my inside voice every single day, because the place of fulfillment that I had landed, the place of day-to-day thriving and flourishing and joy that I feel, having landed in a place where I really only do work now that I love to do, is amazing. And it's not that I rejected corporate life. I still actually do a lot of work in corporate life.
Just different.
But in spaces where I feel validated and recognized, in spaces where my voice is heard, in spaces where I enjoy the people that I work with, and in spaces where I feel like the work is meaningful and has impact. So I can't say enough. You gotta listen. You gotta listen to her inside.
So question, before you actually said yes to that inner voice, did you negotiate?
Yes. And one of the reasons is a really valid reason. That one of the reasons why we don't listen, and that is, I live alone, I'm single, and I got bills to pay. And I had a daughter in university as well, right? I got bills to pay. And so there's safety over here. But the tension was, and the negotiation was, self-fulfillment in this midlife moment where you have this awakening that the years ahead are diminished, they're elapsing, they're going fast, right? I mean, because, you know, I was 35 a minute ago, right? The negotiation was, how am I going to spend the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And am I going to spend it on my terms, or am I going to go where it's safe? But safe, as I had been experiencing it over the past number of years, was not bringing me joy. Mm-hmm. And so joy and fulfillment and satisfaction is my North Star. It is my compass today. And what I've learned is that joy and satisfaction and thriving and flourishing are possible.
Yeah. So
when you choose,
I want to go to legacy and purpose. Before I go there, with the work that you do, how do you move through moments with women who are on the cusp? Like you see it. Through the work that you're doing with them, you can feel it, and they're just not able to sort of, like, the fear, maybe the fear is just so, like, how do you work through that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get them, how do you unpack that for them?
I have a program, and maybe I'll just talk about it at a very high level, but we lead from within is phase one. So we go inward, you know, values. What do you really want? I want you to get quiet. What do you want? If you could wave a magic wand, if anything was possible, if the impossible were possible, what is it that you want?
A lot of people find that hard to figure that out. I know it's hard. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. But if we were to paint it, what does that look like? We uncover the fear. Why are we scared? What is it we're scared of? We tap into strengths. We tap into your gifts. We tap into your talents. We tap into your voice. Where is your confidence? Or why have you not had your confidence? What are the things that you've learned that maybe we have to unlearn? What are all those things? Who is it you want to be? Wrap that all up. It's identity. What is the identity that you're carrying today? And that identity is often an armor that is put on us by our well-meaning parents, by sometimes well-meaning, sometimes ill-intentioned organizations, teams, bosses, whomever, and also ourselves. Sometimes we put it on ourselves. And so we have to really get clear on, who am I? What do I want? And only when we do that work can we then do the lead out loud. Mm-hmm. How do I show up? How do I show up more powerfully? How do I influence? How do I have more voice? How do I eliminate the self doubt? Well, that came first, but it's only when we do the inner work that we can show up outwardly.
Yeah.
just had this conversation yesterday with someone that I was coaching, and I was just talking to her about, you know, she said to me, well, you know, I'm just a chemist. I said, what? You're just a chemist? What did you have to do to become just a chemist? And let's just talk about not just the schooling that you did, but what were the attributes and the qualities that you had to invest in order to become just a chemist? And it was amazing. At the end, she said, you're right, but I never really thought that it was more than that. We have so much. Reinvention is so much about unlearning sometimes.
I think reinvention, you know, what just came to me is, and I, there's goose pimples, man. What just came to me when you said reinvention is like, it's how you can, how do we expand our story? Like, to your point, she just said just a chemist. The in between the each of those, like, how do you expand that? I find that we constrict ourselves to like small words and sentences versus the vastness of, yeah.
We do. And I think corporate life can contribute to that, because corporate life is about end goal, KPI, metric. And we talk about, oh, it's about the what and the and it's about the how. But really, what's important? In many organizations, it's, did you do it? Mm. When did you do it? How did you do it? Who did it? How many times did you do it, right? And how often do we get to tell our stories? Now, great organizations allow for storytelling, right? Storytelling is a great leadership quality. Great organizations, and I'm so grateful to have found organizations like this that allow for people to show up and tell their stories, because when people can tell their genuine, authentic story of who they are, of who they've been, of who they want to be, and how they're doing it, oh, look, you get results. Mind-blowing, right? So you're right. This, and that's a lot of the work that I do, is let me help you shape the narrative around your leadership and who you are. And let's do that consciously and intentionally, and not leave it to other people to shape it for us. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I like to use this phrase, I'm not going to be a pretzel. I'm not pretzeling.
Yeah.
I'm not pretzeling for you and for you and for you and for you. I am going to be so rooted in who I am. But, you know, I had to learn this too, right? So this isn't, you know, but I am not pretzeling for anybody anymore in my life. Mm-hmm. I know who I am. I have my own standards of excellence, and I, you know, they're high, and I make sure they're high, but I have my own standards. Of course, we're open to feedback. We learn from each other, but we can't be blown about by other people's opinions of us and other people's perspectives of us. And I say all of this in a place where I also had to learn this. The first time I sort of went on LinkedIn with this new identity of who I was going to be, having left corporate life, I was nervous. What are people going to say about me?
It's always external.
It's always external. Mm-hmm. But I'm so past that, living in this place of I'm empowered. I know who I am. And this is not original. I think I heard this on Instagram. I know who I am, and I like who I am.
Yeah.
And I love what I'm able to share with others.
And I love that you're saying that on this platform, because that's how Empowered in My Skin came to be. And so, to your point, great organizations allow for their employees to learn about themselves and tell their story. And so I would say that really resonated with me, because I was working for a great organization when I actually, you know, delved into my self-development journey, and it started with identity and really understanding who I am, and more importantly for me, whose I am.
Oh, I love that. Because
that changed everything. And my name means God's gift.
Yes, I know.
And I truly decided that it was time for me to to exemplify that in every interaction that I was in. And I challenged myself to live that out, you know, and I'm grateful for that organization and a big organization in the Canadian landscape, actually in the US landscape. It's a big FI. It's green. I won't say anything more than that. But my story there is that I fired when I unlocked that and I became empowered in my skin, I fired myself as an employee there. Like metaphorically fired myself and redeployed myself deployed myself there as somebody who was going to contribute to the greatness of the organization that I truly believed gave me the opportunity to find myself, you know? And so I love that you say that. And I think that that is the heart of a really well meaning organization.
Yeah. I also worked for an organization like that at one point in time, you know, valued and rewarded and, you know, often asked to share my thoughts and opinions. And I've also spent time in organizations where that was less so. And I think what I am grateful for is that, unlike perhaps sometimes the women that I have coached who were tied to that identity that they had, I actually was never tied to the title that I had. So I had, you know, I've had, you know, big titles, but I never actually got attached to that title. Maybe because I've been a coach for many years, so I sort of knew this. I always had a sense of who I was outside of that title. And I think that that's part of the work that I do, which is you have to be empowered. Actually, you have to be empowered in your own skin. And the titles and the car or the this or the that are all beautiful, you know, beautiful blessings, if you will. But they don't define you. So I do think the shift for me was and you know, I've seen it with other people that I coach as well. If we're less tied to the external things, the shift is easier.
Yeah, 100%.
I coached a man once a long time ago. Not coached. I had to, in my HR role, let him go. And for weeks after, he got up every day, put on his suit and left his house because he couldn't tell his wife. So sad. This is what happens, right? We get to, you know, we meet people and we don't say, hi, and catchy, it's so nice to meet you. What brings you joy? What makes you happy? How do you walk through life? We say, what do you do? So that I can put you in some rank ordered file in my brain that says, how should I treat her relative to, right? This is how this works.
Yeah.
I want to know what you do. What's your contribution to this world?
You know, it's funny that you say that because one of the things I've been trying to figure out how to be better at asking the question. But when I'm interviewing, especially in a leadership role, I'm just so descriptive. I'm like, okay, I've read your profile. I've creeped you on LinkedIn. I know what the external world says about you. What I want to know is, what do I get when I get you? You know? For the first time, I feel like in a long time, like people are like, oh, wow, I've never really been asked that. And they struggle with staying. I'm like, oh, no, you're going into the what you do. Like, stay with who you are. It's just stay a little longer. Like, try, you know. They find it hard.
It's hard. So I love that you're talking about this. I do this in coaching as well. I ask people, you know, tell me what you do. And it's always, I am a product manager. I have a team of 10 people. I do this, I do that. And so I always share with them. So maybe you'll appreciate this example just because it's a tech example. But, you know, Simon Sinek, when he talks about start with why, but he talks about, I can't remember if it's HP and Apple, but he says, you know, one spoke to, we're a black box. We've got a great screen. It's got a great keyboard. If you drop it, it's indestructible. It fits in your pocket. Would you like to buy this phone? And Apple came out and said, we're going to change your life. We're going to put music in your pocket. We're going to give you banking on the go. And we're going to allow you to call your friends and family wherever you are in the world. Would you like to buy this phone? Same mechanics, same, I don't know what you call it, motherboard, like same. People wanted that. Why? Because it was inspirational.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Because it was inspirational. And so I tell the people that I, you know, my coaching clients, people buy your energy.
Mm.
people buy your energy. You know those people who walk into a room and you sort of think, oh, who's that, right? Well, you know this. You came on stage full of love, people light, and energy.
People buy my energy for real.
Right? And so that's what I love. And so then I have them reframe and say, so now tell me, what do you do? And yes, it's in a corporate environment or setting. And so it may be, maybe you're pulling data from reports. But let's elevate that. Yeah. I tell amazing stories from data that helps organizations make big critical decisions. That's your purpose. Yeah. Your purpose isn't I pull reports. Yeah. Then we can talk about, here's the three ways I do that. I pull reports. I run a great team. Mm. Then we can get to that. But what is that that makes people curious about you? Yeah. And so I give them the example. I say, I could say, hi, I'm Susanna. I'm a seasoned HR executive, and I am really great at building, HR infrastructure, policies, programs. Or I could tell you, hi, I'm Susanna. I'm a seasoned HR professional or executive. I help organizations build cultures that are inspiring and dynamic, where people actually want to come to work. Yeah. And I help you build your leadership pipeline so that you can meet all of your challenges today, as well as all of the challenges down the road. And so I share with them, they're gonna hire me, right? That's who you wanna be. And it's in the difficult moments that you have to actually jump back into. This is such a, if we have a bad day or bad moments in bad moments in a great day. Why am I here? Why am I here? Because this Excel spreadsheet that just crashed, as a very tactical example, is about that patient at the end of the line.
Yeah.
Right?
And I will never, and thank you for the reinforcement, because even when I was having the conversations for the current role that I'm in, I boldly share that I'm on a mission to help 1 billion people in this world think in ways that are empowering, right? And that was one of the reasons why I left my other organization, because they only have 26 million customers and 90,000 employees. So I have work to do. And my time there was done.
Their mission wasn't quite big enough for you.
Yeah, my time there was done. I hope, like, this part of the podcast, like, I hope people actually take that in, because more of us need to bring that level of humanity into all of our experiences and interactions, and it doesn't have to be reserved for just the interview. It's how we show up in the rooms that we occupy, right? Like, everybody at the table, and I'm now going into legacy and purpose, because really would love to understand how you define purpose. And if you think about it, even in a corporate setting, because not everybody is ready to...
No.
Yeah, okay. So there are people that are purposed for corporate. So even in a corporate setting, how do you define it?
So I like to, coming off the back of what you just said, I like to say that, I've always been fascinated by how people grow, how they lead, and how they thrive in life. Mm. As I look back, I realize I've always been interested in it, even if I didn't realize at the time that that's what it was. So whether that was navigating my own career or now helping other people. And so purpose for me is, so maybe similar to yours, I want people to feel like they're flourishing. I want people to feel like they're thriving. And so I think about life like this, and this is where I want people to play, even in a corporate space. Corporate life is confining, for sure, right? There's structures, that's what it is. If you choose to work there, you can still be the best version of you. And so I like to think about life like this. If you think about this line as zero, neutral, and we often, and then sorry, this is neutral, and then down here is -5 and up here is +5. We get up every day and we spend our time in -5. And corporate life can also lend itself to, I got to avoid this. I got to manage risk. I've got to mitigate this. I need to control this. How am I going to get there? Do I have enough? It's always about the control, the control, the control, the avoiding, the managing, the stress. But the +5, so I call it my +5 life. The +5 is where I want people to be, where I want to be. This is why we go for drinks with people on a patio, to have a plus five moment. This is why we save money to go on vacation, to have a plus five week away or 2 weeks away. The great conversations that we have with people, that's plus five. I want people to be in plus five mode. And so that's what I want organizations to focus on. Allergies are playing up. How do we create plus five cultures?
Hey.
That's what I want.
Hey.
Moments where people can be plus five. That's my purpose.
I have some people to introduce you to.
I want to create plus five spaces for people. And not just in work, but wherever we go in life, how do you make it a plus five moment? This is a plus five moment.
Girl, right? I think it's plus five, 10x.
This is a plus five moment.
Like, you 10x that thin. You just 10x that thin in that last little bit there. It was plus five until you just 10x. I love, what did I say? I said, my gosh, you are that guest. I could go on and on, and I have to start to wind us down. So
that's okay.
Wow. So I'm going to take you into what we call our rapid thrivers, because I actually think these are going to be fun with you.
Okay.
When you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
My mother. Mm. Tell us my mother. I love her to pieces. But when I think about her story and where she started, much like many immigrant parents and, you know, I shouldn't even say my mother, my parents. I wouldn't be here if not for them, obviously. When I think about all that they've overcome, all of that they've endured, moving countries and, you know, establishing themselves, my parents, and all that they have done and given to me. And if not for me, and if not for them, I wouldn't be here thriving. I just wouldn't.
Well, thank you for your parents. Because you're helping me thrive in this moment. So, so what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Journaling.
When do you journal? Morning, night, all day?
Actually, less so in the mornings now, but at night. So actually, I'll say two things. One is journaling and one is prayer. Mm-hmm. So I try to put my thoughts down on paper because they instantly become more active when they're on paper, or more actionable, I should say. But also it's a reflection and a record of your journey. And nothing happens without, for me, nothing happens without God.
Yeah, of course, 100%.
God got me here.
Yeah, God gets me everywhere, gets me through.
God got me here.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. And it's also what has allowed me to trust myself, is that it's always working out for me. Yeah. Even when it feels like it's not working out, it's always working out for me.
Romans 8:28. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. What is a book that has helped you with your thrive?
Oh, that's a good question. What is a book that has helped me thrive? Well, maybe I'll say The Purpose Driven Life.
Oh, Pastor Rick Warren.
Yeah. It brings all the facets of my life together, right? In a sort of practical, but yet spiritual way, which is how I try to live.
If I told you, you know, that book has 42, has scripture at the beginning of every chapter.
Yes.
And in his foreword, he talks about, or in the prelogue, he talks about memorizing the scripture. So I read that book about 11 years ago, read it once front to back, and then had a girlfriend at the time who we decided that we were going to read it again, and we committed to memorize that scripture. And the only way we knew how is we read a chapter a day, memorized the scripture, and then we had to record the scripture.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What if I told you that without ceasing, so 42 days, so we would do day one, you'd say the scripture, day two, you do the two. Day three, you do the three. And on day 42, you're doing all 42 scriptures. That's the only way I knew. And then we'd start again.
Yeah.
I have never stopped. So a 42 day is a cycle.
Yeah.
I'm on cycle 83.
Wow.
I record it every morning.
You record it. That's amazing. I'm going to think about that when I read it.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. It keeps you grounded, right?
It keeps you grounded.
Keeps you on the path.
Those are 42 purpose-driven scriptures that are so embedded in me.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, you are a child of God.
Yes, I am.
You are blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. Remarkable uniquely beyond made. Measure.
Uniquely made.
So what is an app on your phone that helps you with your Thrive?
So I just was introduced last year by a friend to Growth Day.
Oh, by yes. Ed Milette talks about it, but I don't know whose it
is. Yes, Ed Milette is on there. Mel Robbins. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole host of, all of the sort of top psychology speakers. But I listen to Growth Day every morning. My girlfriend introduced me to it. She's obsessed with Growth Day. Mm. So what I do is actually I listen to the Daily Fire every morning while I'm getting ready. And then I get in my car, it's on my Instagram if you saw it, and I sort of share what I learned from that with your audience.
Wow.
So as you're recording The Purpose-Driven Life, I'm recording The Daily Fire from Growth Day. But that's the app I listen to.
I'm going to check it out. That's it. Done. I'm going to check it out. Yeah. Is it a free or paid?
It's paid.
Okay, it's so paid. It's an investment. I love it. Mm-hmm.
It's an investment because not only do you get these sort of daily, mini podcasts or teachings, if you will, that only are there for 24 hours, but then there's courses and programs from the Ed Milettes of the world that you can't find on YouTube or anywhere else. There's journaling, there's community. I really enjoy it. It's quite good.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
So, and the last of the five is, what is one misconception that people have of you as they see you moving through this world? Yeah.
One misconception that people have of me is that they think I'm an extrovert, and I'm absolutely not. I'm an introvert. I'm absolutely an introvert. I love people, and I love connection and engagement, and we're built for community, right? This is why solitary confinement is a punishment, because we're built for human connection. And so I love it, and it fuels all the work that I do in organizations, but I need to recharge by myself. And any Friday night, if you call me and say, hey, I have to cancel, I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'm back on the couch. No problem. I love my own company. I love silence. I love stillness, because it allows me to go in. So I love this, but then I come back to me. Yeah.
So if I told you we were very similar, and earlier we talked about expanding language, the whole reinvention.
Yeah.
And in my journey of reinvention, I have actually tried to avoid labels, because a lot of people will think I'm an extrovert, right?
Yes.
And so I will always say I'm gonna actually use language to describe myself.
Yes, that's so good.
What you observe is my gift comes alive.
I love this. With
people. Right. Because I am born to empower you. I am born to ignite the fire in you. And I can't do that if I'm quiet and silent. I need to use my voice, and I need to use my body and my laugh and my energy to pour into you. And when there aren't people around,
I'm also quite happy.
I'm also very in love with the stillness. In the quiet, my phone goes on do not disturb. I have boundaries that I protect, so that I can hone the gift, and I can preserve it for when it's needed. Right, so I try. I think that's kind of what you just communicated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I love the moving away from labels. I like to say, I am never by myself. I am always with myself, and that distinction. That the distinction, that nuance is a good one, right?
Whoa.
I'm with me. What are you doing today? I'm hanging out with me. I'm with myself. I'm not alone. I like me. I mean, we're back where we started. I like me. I'm hanging out with me.
That is the best that I heard this week so far.
I'm not by myself. I'm with myself.
Do you have the t-shirt? Did you get the t-shirt made yet?
I should.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yes.
Okay, t-shirt looting.
Yes, I'm not even like go and do it quickly before somebody else takes that idea from this podcast. So where do we find more of you online?
So you can find me. I actually have two websites. I have one website, which is SusannaKellyConsulting.ca, and that speaks to all of the culture work and leadership development work, coaching that I do for teams and organizations. And then I also have a website that is SusannaKelly.ca that speaks to the work that I do solely for women and women in leadership. The two actually connect if you click on various links, but I have two websites. You can find me on Instagram at SusannaKelly.ca. At Susanna Kelly Coaching. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Susanna M. Kelly is my sort of URL.
And we'll share all of the links.
Yeah, thank you.
All of the links. And yeah, so final question or final, let's move this out is finish this sentence. I am most empowered in my skin when?
I am most empowered in my skin when I'm no longer performing and I start belonging to myself. When I am no longer performing for others, I am showing up as me. And what I've learned is that I don't need to fit into the room to be powerful. When I show up as me, I change the room. Oh. I don't mean that in an arrogant way.
I just mean
bring my energy and my talent or my gifts. I don't need to fit into the room. I can change. When I show up as me, I change the room. Because we all do. Yeah. When we show up as ourselves, we all change the room.
Yes, we do. And you know, why do not, that is not arrogant at all. And I'm totally breaking the rules by engaging in more conversation. Because here's the most important thing we all need to remember is that also when we leave that room, it shifts again.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
And that's life. That is supposed to happen. That's why you have to own your presence in any room you're in. Never negotiate your visibility. Anyway, I love that you said
that. And I love that you shift, because I like to talk about the shift. So.
I love you. I absolutely love you. I knew this was so well. Oh gosh, it was the moment I had to wait for. And thank you for showing up.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for reaching out to me, and thank you for the gift of your grace last weekend. Honestly, as I said, that was a shift. That shifted things, right? Because it could have been, we rescheduled and I showed up here, I'm feeling badly about what happened, and you created such a beautiful moment of humanity. And if we could do more of that, the world would definitely be a better place. So thank you for the gift of you.
Thank you. And to everyone that's listening, just hit rewind and listen to it again. But Sally, this is where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust that you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at Empowered in My Skin, Inc. if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your social and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode.